Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Rod Hampton with our Memorial Day weekend edition.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. How tuition-free Christian education is helping to break the poverty cycle for children in the Appalachia.
Legendary UNC coach Dean Smith, one of his former players turned author, joins us today on the Culture Connection to talk about his legacy as a leader.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we talk with a pastor who, along with his congregation, reached military families in their community with the good news of Jesus Christ.
I'm Myrna Brown, and I'm talking to the front man for the band Cutlass, his new solo project, an upcoming mission trip, and of course, Cutlass.
Also today, we salute military chaplains ministering to our U.S. Armed Forces on our missionary moment. So let's get going for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. Today, Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke introduces us to the Academy at Double H Ranch and how they're helping students in their community with education and spiritual enrichment.
Nestled in impoverished Appalachia, churches from the North Central Area Missions Baptist Association in Woodstock, Georgia, wanted to break the poverty cycle, so they started the Academy at Double H Ranch, where disadvantaged children are offered tuition-free Christian education in a small environment where they are demonstrated God's Word through education. Alan Morris is the Associational Missionary for the North Central Area Missions Association, and he joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a delight to be with you today, Juliana.
Well, tell us about the children who attend the school.
The children come from broken, pretty much very poor homes. We have only three of the students that come from homes where their parents are still together. We have several that come from teenage mothers out of wedlock, but all of them are in what you would call an at-risk, low-income situation.
Mm-hmm. And what are the age ranges?
They range in age from 5 years old to 16 years old, eight different grade levels.
Wow, and the Academy at Double H Ranch offers a non-traditional approach to education.
Right. It's a one-room schoolhouse. What that means is all the students are being taught at the same time, and with all those grade levels, it is a little bit unique, but it's not unique to our history. In the 18th century, this was very common. As a matter of fact, in our country, the time that we had the highest level of literacy was when we had the one-room schoolhouse.
And you all are using horses and chores to teach the children as well.
That's correct. Every Wednesday is called Wonderful Wednesday, and the lady who owns the ranch where the school is held allows the kids to each have a horse. She has rescued about 14 horses that were basically being abused or abandoned. So she doesn't just rescue children, she also rescues horses. Mm-hmm. And then she puts them together, teaches the children how to take care of horses, how to not only care for them, but how to take care of all the tack that goes along with horses. And at the same time, she also teaches them gardening skills and some high as well as cooking healthy meals, mm-hmm. something none of these kids will probably get at home.
Wow. Wow. And all along the way, you all are pointing the children to Jesus through education.
Exactly. Every single course, every single thing we talk about is Bible-based. They don't learn that 2 plus 2 equals 4 without the fact that they are taught that 2 plus 2 equals 4 because God made order in the universe He placed us in. So there's a background for every single thing they learn. Every day they start out with Bible reading and Bible memorization.
Wow, wow. And this school was birthed out of area churches seeing this need.
That's right. They're the ones who are financially fitting the bill for it because it's tuition free. You see, the parents of these children, none of them would ever spend money to send their children to school. As a matter of fact, my wife has been teaching them now for 6 months, and she hasn't met several of the parents. They don't even know where their kids go to school. It's a free school. They found out about it. They put them at the little place. We pick them up, and that's it. That's all they care. And then we provide breakfast and lunch for them. So it is our attempt to break a cycle of poverty, abuse, and all kinds of other addictions that are in this area of the Appalachian region.
Hmm. And how have you seen lives changed by offering this safe environment where they can thrive?
Juliana, that is a hard question to answer in the brief time we've got together, but I will just tell you what one of our students said just today. She told me that when she was in traditional schools that she'd been in before, they just taught her for the test, but she's learning here to be taught how to live.
Wow.
What an amazing awareness that this young lady has been able to grasp from this new school. Mm-hmm. Several of these kids have come to faith in Christ through the ministry that's on this ranch. But even the area community has been impacted by what is going on right now. We're so grateful to be a part of something that's definitely larger than we are.
Well, how can we get more information on Double H Ranch?
There's a website. It's the Academy at Double H Ranch.
We've been speaking with Alan Morris, Associational Missionary for the North Central Area Missions. Thank you for sharing with us about how loving these children and investing in their lives is pointing them to the Lord.
Thank you, Juliana. It's nothing but a privilege to do it. God bless you.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
Here at Camp Pinnacle, it's a great place to worship God. And your faith grows, and you learn so much.
You come here, you learn about missions, and it makes you want to become a missionary.
It's just a whole lot of fun. I wouldn't miss it for, like, anything.
Each summer, girls learn to be on mission for Christ at Camp Pinnacle, near Clayton in the beautiful North Georgia mountains. For more information, go to camppinnacle.net. That's camppinnacle.net.
I love it. It is the best.
Glad to have you along on Life with Purpose Radio. Thanks for listening. Today, we hear about the legacy of basketball great Dean Smith and the impression he made on his players, including author David Chadwick, with John Graham on today's Culture Connection.
Dean Smith won 879 games during his legendary career as the basketball coach at University of North Carolina, making him among the winningest coaches ever. He also won the respect and admiration of those who worked with and played for him. One such person is author and pastor David Chadwick, who has written a book about Coach Smith's leadership lessons called It's How You Play the Game. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Absolutely. Now tell me about your time with Coach Smith. How did you know him?
Well, I was a senior in high school, and it was early in the season, and I looked up into the stands, and I saw this man whose face I recognized because of pictures, and it was Dean Smith, who was coming to watch me play as a senior at Orlando Boone High School in Orlando, Florida. He watched me play, and then he set up a home visit after that. He must have seen something he liked. And he began the recruiting process and eventually offered me a scholarship, and I was able to play for him for 4 years from 1967 to 1971.
And in those 4 years, you also had a pretty good run yourself with the team. Tell me a little bit about that.
My sophomore year, we went to the Final Four, and then my senior year, we won the NIT when it was still a very prestigious tournament back then. We had great success, and I had the privilege of learning basketball from him, but more importantly, I learned life from him.
Well, and that's really the core of your book. Tell me some of the things that you learned that you wrote about here.
What he emphasized was the process over the outcome. He emphasized having life principles by which you make decisions every single day. And if you follow those principles faithfully and make decisions according to them, the outcome will most likely be a very positive one. And some of the things that he taught were things like the team is more important than the individual. One of the things that people remember about him was the innovation that you're always supposed to point to the person who gave you the pass. That was his way of acknowledging that the person who gave up the pass sacrificed himself so that somebody else could score. He wanted to make sure everybody in the stands and on television saw that. He believed that caring for players and giving them the best opportunity to succeed was even more important than winning basketball games, and that produced a fierce loyalty for all of those of us who played for him. In fact, one of the chapters is called The Reciprocal Law of Loyalty.
Now, how did faith play a role in his life?
Well, he was raised in a very strict Baptist home in Kansas, and I think faith was placed deep within him by his parents. When he came to Chapel Hill in the late 1950s, the first thing he did was seek out a church home. And he joined a church called Binkley Baptist Church. And Coach Smith's faith then began what was one of the most significant parts of his life, and that was the integration of the Chapel Hill community with African Americans, plus the integration of the University of North Carolina's basketball team and the Atlantic Coast Conference basketball idea. He brought Charlie Scott in 1966, the first African-American player in North Carolina history, and he stood ferociously on the idea that all people are created equal, thus because of his faith that his parents taught him that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. He lived his faith in profound ways, gave millions of dollars away to the poor and the needy.
He was generous even after his death. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I sure can. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. I was in Iowa at my son's NCAA swimming championships. He had qualified, and I got a text from a friend of mine in Charlotte saying, "What do you think about the $200 gift?" And I had no idea what he was talking about. Then a sports reporter here in Charlotte, a friend of mine, Scott Fowler, called me in Iowa, and he said, "Did you hear about Coach Smith willing $200 to all of his former players?" And I went, "I had no idea." Wow. I returned home, and there it was, right there, that even from the other side of eternity, Coach Smith was blessing his former players with his generosity.
And what I read was he wanted them to have dinner on him.
You know, the debate among us Letterman was, what should we do with that check? Some guys wanted just to frame it. Bobby Jones, who was an All-American in the 1970s, said, "You know what? I learned long ago that I always do what Coach Smith tells me to do. I'm going to take my wife out to dinner." And that's exactly what I did, too, because I know that's what he would have wanted. And during the meal with my wife, Marilyn, we imagined that Coach Smith was our waiter, just serving us and saying to us, "This one's on me."
Wow. Well, he very obviously had such a profound impact on your life, and it's so wonderful that you're able to share that impact with the world through this book. It's How You Play the Game. Where can people find the book?
Any place they want to get it, they can get it, but especially online with Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com is an easy way to get it.
All right. David Chadwick, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure to be with you, and I hope Coach Smith's life can bless all of yours, too.
Thank you so much, and until next time, this is John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Here at Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose, and we hope that you are encouraged to live your life with purpose as you hear the stories. We'd like for you to become a member of our family, become involved with our community at Life with Purpose Radio. You'll find us at facebook.com/LWP Radio. Also follow us on Twitter at LWP Radio. And our email is always available, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And it's great to read your comments, your questions, and your story suggestions. By the way, we're continuing our offer of a free book just for being a listener to the program. To get it, go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. It's the hardback devotional called Words of Life. It's by Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And again, it is free and available at lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. Well, let's continue with our Memorial Day edition and more stories on the way. So here's Myrna Brown.
Thanks, Rod. Well, I'm talking to the front man for the band Cutlass. It's all about his new solo project, an upcoming mission trip to the UK, and of course, Cutlass.
Thanks, Myrna. Also ahead is a salute to military chaplains ministering to those in the U.S. Armed Forces on today's Missionary Moment. Right now, though, let's go to Ron Lawson in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for the story of Mission to Military.
Churches are looking closely at their communities and finding groups of people who need ministry. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, visits with a pastor of a church who passionately serves military families in their community, reaching those families with the good news of Christ.
I'm so happy to be on the phone today with Pastor Eric Rentz, who serves the First Baptist Church of Ludowice, Georgia. Eric, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Dr. White.
Eric, you and your church seem to have a desire to look where you can to see what the needs are in your community and then respond. You all have a great history of doing that, and we're so grateful for that example that you demonstrate to other churches. Tell our listeners a little bit about your community, how you see your members being on mission to reach people right there.
Well, I'm excited, Dr. White, that I'm in a growing community. It was my first full-time church, and about 6 months after I got there, we had an explosion of people coming in new to the community, primarily fueled by the military base, Fort Stewart. Its main group of people is the 3rd Infantry Division there. Where ministry begins is you find out who the Lord's sending to you. And in our case, it was the military. And we certainly wanted to reach them. We decided we wanted to identify with them. Some of them were actually, they were visiting our church, and we would notice that sometimes they would come visit and maybe not stay with us. And so we wanted to get a little more, I guess, skilled in understanding who they were. And they're impacting our community. We certainly need to impact them. So it just grew into something where God gave me, very specifically, a passion for that group of people. a lot like I would if I was going on a foreign mission trip or trying to get missionaries into a country. We want to learn the language. We want to study the culture. And certainly, as a pastor, you want to train and equip some leadership to impact the place where they live at. So
that's right.
Through that passion and sharing that passion, it really spilled over into our congregation, and it became infectious toward them.
Well, you know, every community has affinity groups, and in your area, a huge affinity is the military and military families that are located there at Fort Stewart. I wonder if you could tell our folks a little bit more about how you minister to these families.
The desire to minister really came out of us getting to know some of those families. Man, it starts very slowly. When you assimilate them together by age group most of the time in a Sunday school class, and they begin to share in that class about what the needs are, you learn, hey, there's some areas of ministry that we could really do here. You almost have to have some to get some, if you know what I'm saying. If you don't have anybody, it's hard to learn the needs. So I guess we're doing a military strategy on them. We got to take a hostage and find out what it is that they really need, you know. So we did that in some cases. We had families that we baptized members of their family, specifically men who were enlisted. And from that relationship getting formed and spending time with them, they began to say, hey, this is what life is like for us. This is where the needs are. And especially because we're in the largest and most lengthy deployment time of the history of the United States military, we were able to see some things that are absent when that service member is away from their home. In some cases it's men, in some cases it's women. And there are just all kinds of needs that we can provide for them. And so, you know, for them to even go grocery shopping sometimes is a task. And so there are times where we would have a mom's night out.
Oh, that's great.
There are times where a car may need fixing, but I can send a guy out to sort of assess the situation or help her talk to the people who would fix her car. And in some cases, we can fix it ourselves, and so we do. We've also had some wounded warriors that needed wheelchair ramps when they came home. From anything from mowing the grass to just pressure washing a house or letting them know what our community's like when they're new, where you buy groceries, where you go to the different places for your kids, how you enroll them in Little League ball or something like that, and making sure they get to meet some people alongside of us.
That's incredible, Eric. I wonder if there's an individual story, maybe of a person or a family that you can think of that has really connected through this ministry and come to faith in Christ.
We had an interesting situation happen with a family who visited us one time. Pat and Stephanie Peoples, they had one child. And we were in their community doing a block party. They had a small boy. Some of our guys got to talking to Pat. We invited him to come to church. And it just so happened that that Sunday, we also were doing a program with Youth Challenge, which is housed at Fort Stewart. And these are teens that are between 17 and 18. And he was so moved by these kids coming to know the Lord. We had multiple salvations, had about 22 people at our altar.
Oh, my.
And he left there crying. So I talked with him. I saw he was emotional. And if you see a soldier cry, you can just about bet he's been deeply moved by something. You know, in our conversation, not only did he recognize what a powerful thing it was that these kids were getting saved, but he also recognized the need for Christ in his own life. And so I prayed with Pat to receive Christ, baptized him 2 weeks later, and he and his family became hugely engrossed in our congregation. And we taught them how you love on somebody, and then they started doing that for other people. It just reciprocated. They became ministry-minded as a couple and brought tons of people into our church. He eventually got out of the military and went in the ministry. And so just to see, you know, that progression, a functioning, excited church member, teaching Sunday school, working with the youth and things like that. And so just to see that, hey, it started with an unsaved family, and so we met their needs, and then we discipled them all the way to the point that they're ready to serve in the ministry. You know, our ministry is connected not just in South Georgia, but it's connected really all over the United States because of the people who have come through there.
Well, I think it really has, and I want the people who are listening to be encouraged and inspired by the story of First Baptist Ludowice. It's important that our churches look around the community and see groups of people that have similar backgrounds and experiences that might need the ministry of a local church, and you all have done that well at First Baptist Ludowice. Thank you for ministering to those military families. I've been talking with Pastor Eric Rentz, who serves the First Baptist Church of Ludowice, Georgia. They're doing an incredible job ministering to the military families at Fort Stewart. Thank you so much, Eric, for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Dr. White, it was my pleasure, and hope God continues to bless all of your efforts for the state of Georgia.
Thank you, Eric.
For more information on reaching affinity groups, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
John Micah Summerall of the band Cutlass has released his own CD, and Myrna Brown has his story and music. now on Life with Purpose Radio.
There is strength in my weakness. It only comes from you.
They've sold millions of records, just like this one. The band is Cutlass, and the frontman for the band is John Micah Summerall. And John Micah joins us on Life with Purpose Radio to talk about his latest project without the band. John Micah, welcome to Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you very much.
You and James Mead started Cutlass when you were in college back in 2000 in Portland, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And in that time, you all have created many, many hits. And some of the songs you've written over the years didn't make the Cutlass cut, so to speak.
Yeah.
Great songs nonetheless, but just maybe not for the band. You have done something really exciting with some of those songs. So tell us about it.
Raindrops running down my window pane. In my reflection, I can see the strain of another long and lonely day.
You kind of have certain expectations, or stylistically, I guess kind of a direction that we tend to head. And, you know, the songs that we write for the band tend to be in a certain genre, so to speak. There's been a lot of songs that I've written over the years that just really had no outlet for. So I've got several songs on this new record that I wrote for my wife. We got married in January 2002. Over the years, there's been a handful of songs I've written for her that just would never really fit, you know, on a Cutlass record. But this project allowed me to kind of take some of those songs and share those with people. It's just about my life. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that titled the record Faith and Family, is because those are the two things that are really the most important to me, and that really composes the bulk of my life is my faith, my walk with God, and my family.
So when we listen to this project, I mean, we really are going to be hearing your heart.
I feel like I could relate to the Psalms. Like, one of the Psalms is called Psalm 56. I just took scripture almost word for word and put it to music. And, you know, I've been reading that psalm and it was encouraging to me. And so I made a song out of it.
Fighting all day. My enemies are hounding me. So many that are rising up against me. All their thoughts for me are evil.
But sonically, too, the great thing about it is I think it works in a very different way, in that it's a much more mellow record. It's very acoustic. We did that on purpose. Didn't want it to sound like another Cutlass record. And so one of the other things that we did was we actually didn't use any electric guitars on the whole record.
Wow.
Because, you know, electric guitar is one of the kind of the hallmark sounds of Cutlass. And so we figured if we didn't have an electric guitar, it would definitely sound very different. The cool thing about that, though, that I wasn't totally expecting, is that it actually forced me back to the instruments I grew up playing. I started playing piano when I was 5 years old, took classical piano lessons up until high school, and led worship on the piano. Picked up the acoustic guitar when I was in middle school, began leading worship with the guitar. I played the cello from the time I was in third grade up into high school.
Wow.
So a lot of these instruments I would go back to. I hadn't played the cello in years and years, and we actually got a hold of the cello and tracked some cello for this record as well.
Yeah.
I actually was able to kind of dust off the old cello.
Like getting on a bike, right? You don't forget.
Yeah. I was a little rusty. And then on top of that, I was able to utilize some instruments that mean a lot to me. I inherited a 1939 Steinway baby grand piano from my grandmother.
Oh.
You know, I remember going to her house when I was growing up, and she would play that piano, and I'd play it on occasion just growing up. And so now that piano's at my house. And as we were working on this record, I was able to use, you know, essentially this heirloom that's been in my family for many, many years.
Which song, when we're listening, will say, oh, that's the piano. That's the piano from his grandmother.
Yeah, we use the piano pretty heavily on the record.
Let's allay some fears here, because I know our listeners are going, okay, wait a minute. This is a new solo project. What about Cutlass? You know, you're still a part of Cutlass, right?
Yeah, that's one of the first questions I've been getting. What's going on with the band? Are you solo now?
Yeah.
And the band's done, and people are worried about that. The band is not done. We're still doing music. We're traveling, touring, playing shows, still super busy. We're headed to Ukraine here for a couple weeks. We're going to be doing some some outreach in the Ukraine. We're headed to South Africa in September. Actually, right now, we're writing for our new record. We'll hopefully have a new record out by early next year.
That's exciting. I want to circle back to the trips to the Ukraine and South Africa. Sounds a lot like maybe a mission trip or two?
The South Africa date, I think, is kind of a festival, you know, music festival. But the Ukraine will be going over there to do evangelism. There's so much darkness there, and to bring Christ into those areas is it's just amazing.
So we got a lot to pray about. John Micah Sumrall, frontman of Cutlass, also has a new project of his own, and it's called Faith and Family.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment salutes our military chaplains here on Life with Purpose Radio.
There's a spiritual aspect to everyone, and they know that that's why they hire chaplains, to be able to come in and meet those needs.
There's no more critical time in a person's life than in a hazardous situation or a combat role. And so the chaplain is just so very key to ensuring the spiritual well-being of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines.
It was a hard transition coming from, you know, Iraq to back to the United States. And I was dealing with a lot of, you know, personal decisions that I shouldn't have made. So it was nice to, you know, to have somebody to talk to, you know, and talk to about, you know, Christ and have him minister to me.
I also think of other chaplains that went to places like Somalia with me or that were involved in the Iraq Desert War who really just took the gospel to people that desperately needed it.
I arrived in Vietnam in October of 67, and I met this wizened chaplain. He had us totally focused on serving the Vietnamese community, serving kids who were in very, very, very difficult situations. God did a lot of work in my heart thanks to that chaplain.
To the whole community of chaplains, I would simply say this: thank you.
I thank you for investing in me. Because of your impact that you had on me, I was able to impact others.
We just thank you so much for being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to our military.
For more information about SBC chaplains, North American and international missionaries, head to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope today's stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about Academy at Double H Ranch, How You Play the Game, Mission to Military, John Micah Sumrall, and our salute to military chaplains. Well, we'll see you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, hoping you have a great Memorial Day weekend. And see you next time on Life with Purpose Radio.